Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please take note of all the announcements that are in the bulletin. There's a number of different things going on, but a couple of things I would like to highlight. After church today, there is a potluck meal, so everyone is welcome to come back over after Sunday school and enjoy the good food. And at 12:30, then, after you've had a chance to eat, I'll be asking all the Sunday school teachers and parents of children to come over to the meeting room there in the fellowship or in the parish hall for a meeting. We need to be talking about Sunday school for this summer and then upcoming. Let's see. And also then, too, I need to announce that there is a special congregational meeting, which will be held on June 5th, and that will be following the 9 o'clock worship service. So, and the reason for the meeting is to talk about the parking lot. So please join us for that meeting. We do need a quorum of 50 voting members for that, and that is on June 5th. Are there other announcements this morning? Nick.
I'm sorry to whistle at you. I didn't want to yell and say, Pastor, learn out something. Good morning, St. Paul Lutheran. I just want to make an announcement. Tuesday, May 24th, 6:30 p.m. in the Fellowship Hall. If you are a parent, I would like you to come and participate in the Youth and Family Committee meeting. Somebody asked me how important was this meeting, and I said, it's probably the most important meeting all year. And they said, what does that mean? And I said, imagine if the Dallas Cowboys skipped draft day. That's what it is. That's how important this meeting is. This is essentially our draft day. I know this is a church, but if you look at it as a sports team, this meeting, we're going to figure out what to do with our franchise, where we're going, how we're going to move for the next few years. So it's a very, very important meeting. It's Tuesday, May 24th, 6:30 p.m., and food will be provided.
All right. Thank you, Nick. Are there other announcements? Not then, I'm going to turn it over to Bonnie Riedesel, and we'll have our senior recognition.
Good morning. This morning is Senior Recognition Sunday here at church, and for me, that's a special day because it's our kids, it's our youth, it's our legacy, it's our future. And I get really excited about the kids and anything that involves kids. And I'm happy to announce that this year we have six amazing young ladies that are graduating this year. Last year we had one. The year before we had zero. The year before that, three. So six this year is just, it's wonderful. We're just truly excited. Every one of our seniors is eligible for a $1,200 scholarship from the church. Most of the girls have completed their forms, and they've sent in their proof of acceptance to the college or university of their choice. However, not until proof of enrollment will monies be dispensed. These girls have set their sights high, which is wonderful. My husband always says, dream big, my dear. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce them to you. And as I call your name, if you'll please come forward. Kaylin Baim. Kaylin is the daughter of Rodney and Tina Baim. Kaylin plans on attending Stephen F. Austin in Nacogdoches, studying nutrition and dietetics, hoping to eventually work as a pediatric dietitian. Brooklyn Corpus. Brooklyn is the daughter of Anthony and Misty Corpus. Brooklyn plans on attending Tarleton State University to become an ag teacher. Macy Hahn. Macy is the daughter of Chad and Kim Hahn. Macy plans on attending Texas A&M University in College Station to study nursing with hopes of becoming a NICU nurse. Aubrey Rupert. Aubrey is the daughter of Jeffrey Rupert and Brittany Loving. Aubrey plans on attending Texas A&M University in Kingsville to become a teacher. Imogen Stira. Imogen is the daughter of Kevin Stira and Stephanie Bradley. Imogen plans on attending Texas Lutheran University in Seguin to become a coach and a teacher, hopefully at her alma mater, Nordheim. And last but not least, Brooke Turner. Brooke is the daughter of Shane and Jill Turner. Brooke plans on attending UTSA in San Antonio and studying mathematics. She's not sure exactly yet what she wants to do with her math degree, as she has many options. Now we get to have some fun. This is the part I love, because I got them up here and we're all looking at them and we can brag on them and embarrass them and make them blush and all the fun stuff. So here we go. These girls are some amazing girls. I've never received paperwork back and learned, well, they didn't tell me a whole lot. I've learned other things. These girls have accomplished and have been extremely busy. So, girls, if I mention something in the next few minutes that pertains to you, raise your hand, okay? Because if you don't, I will, okay? We just might as well get that straight right now. All right, here we go. If you are a valedictorian this year, please raise your hand. Brooklyn Corpus, valedictorian, Yorktown High School. If you are an honor student, raise your hand. And this is not Brooklyn, it's Brooke. We like the Brooklyn thing. She is an honor student here at Yorktown this year. Okay? 3-year graduate from high school. Not 4 girls and boys, 3. She got after it. Okay? Macy Hahn. Okay, this one might hit more. National Honor Society. Okay, we got a bunch there. They're smart girls. All right, now we're going to jump to some extracurricular stuff. If you raised and showed any kind of animal for ag, for 4-H, or whatever, raise your hand. Okay, we got some, most of them, not all of them. That's okay. All right, let's hit volunteer. Did you do any volunteer work? Oh, Kaylin, what did you volunteer?
I coach soccer
for... For the Quarrel Soccer Association.
Vacation Bible School.
Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School. YAM. Awesome. Awesome. Okay. All right. Let's hit sports now. Okay. Let's start at the beginning of the year. Volleyball. If you played volleyball, raise your hand. Okay. I think we got a Yorktown and a Nordheim team. No rivalry now. Let's just talk. We'll go Yorktown first just because we're right here. How did your team do? Undefeated district champs. Okay, that's pretty good. Did you win an award yourself?
I got first team
district. Okay, very good. All right, let's go to Imogen. How did your team do?
Area champs.
Great. And did you get any awards?
First team
all district. All right, let's move on to cross country. The runners. Oh, God bless her. That's the one I hated, was just running. Give me a ball and I'll give you everything and more. But you tell me to run? You guys be kidding. My grandkids said, Grandma will race me, and I just laugh. I just, you know. Okay. Cross country. How'd you do?
Qualified for the state meet.
Very good. We're impressed very much. All right. Let's move on to basketball. Anybody play basketball? A couple of us. Oh, again, we got the Yorktown-Nordheim rivalry. Excuse me here. Let's go with Yorktown. We'll do Nordheim first this time. Nordheim, how'd y'all do in basketball? First time in 14 years. Made it past the playoffs. Great. That's an accomplishment. A first. Okay. And how did you do? Did you? Okay. Did you get an award?
Academic
and Imogen? Okay, very good. All right, let's move on to softball. Oh, we got a couple. I think they're both from Yorktown, so here we go. All right, we're going to start with you, Kaylin. How'd your team do?
Good. We got third in district.
Third in district, okay. And what did you do in softball? What was your?
Shortstop.
Shortstop, okay. I think most people understand that. Did you get any kind of awards?
Yes, ma'am. First team all district and academic.
First team all district and academic. Designated hitter. All right. That's a job not everybody likes. That's good. All right.
Let's move on to track. Any track people? Oh, okay, our runner and our other girl. Okay, let's start with Brooke. Wow, all right, okay. Now it's your turn, Imogen. Wait a minute, you look awfully tired. Why are you so tired? You were at the state track meet when? Oh, yesterday. Okay, and how'd you do? Did you hear that? 1A state champion in shot put. Yeah. I think that's accomplishment all schools around here. That's wonderful. We're really proud of you. So she's a little tired, a little droopy. We're going to cut her a little slack. She still made it this morning. Congratulations. Well, as you can see, our girls have been extremely busy, and we're very, very proud of them and their accomplishments. We, your friends and family here at St. Paul, are really proud of you, and we want to congratulate you on your upcoming high school graduation. We have a little something to remember us by. Miss Urban's going to help me pass out. Okay. So, I want to tell you again, congratulations. We wish you the very best. We look forward to seeing you church periodically when you come home to, you know, do your laundry, visit your family, those kind of things. So, congregation, I present to you the graduating class of 2022. Before I sit down, I want to share one little tidbit with everybody. In the bulletin today, you may have noticed it says senior scholarship. And it says our graduating seniors who qualify will be receiving a $1,200 scholarship for college from St. Paul. Due to rising costs, we feel any additional help would be appreciated. If anyone would like to contribute any additional funds to increase the amount given to each senior, please designate your offering to the Senior Scholarship Fund. And we will be, this is a yearly, it's going to be there for all year. You can designate just an offering when you give on Sunday. You can do memorial, you know, whatever you want to do. But you need to mark it as Senior Scholarship Fund, please. We are going to collect from now through June, and at that time we're going to kind of look at the monies we've collected and see if we can help these girls out with a little extra money. $1,200 is a great start, but we'd love to be able to help them a little bit more. You know the rising costs of everything. College is like everything else. It's expensive, but it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that we've got six young ladies that are ready to go off to college, that are wanting to further their education and become successful citizens and people out there in the world. It's a great legacy for us. So if any of you have any questions about this, feel free to ask any of us on the Senior Recognition Committee. It's myself, Joan Urban, and Debbie Niemeyer. She wasn't able to make it today. We're happy to assist you in any way we can. Thank you.
Thank you, Bonnie and Joan, and congratulations to our seniors. I now ask you to rise as we begin our worship service. Our opening hymn is You Servants of God.
Thank you.
grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In the beginning was the Word. In the Word was life. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Keep yourselves in the love of God. If anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation.
Everything old has passed away. Behold, everything has become new.
God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Therefore, let us be reconciled to God and to one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. Uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, to the honor and glory of your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Almighty and merciful Lord grant us pardon, forgiveness, and remission of all our sins. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. O God, form the minds of your faithful people into a single will. Make us love what you command and desire what you promise, that amid all the changes of this world, our hearts may be fixed where true joy is found. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, The Church's One Foundation. You may be seated.
first lesson, a reading from Acts chapter 11. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sea coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners. And it came close to me, and as I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, birds of the air. I also heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill, eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up into heaven. At that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house, saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' If God has given them the same gift that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" Then they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even the Gentiles the represents the leads to life." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Reading from Psalm 148, we'll do it responsively. Hallelujah, praise the Lord from the heavens, praise him in the heights.
Praise him, all the angels of his, praise him, all his hosts.
Praise him, sun and moon, praise him, all you stars. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created.
He made them stand fast forever and ever. He gave them the law which shall not pass away.
Praise the Lord from the earth, you sea monsters in all depths. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all rulers of the earth.
Young men and maidens, old and young together.
Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name only is exalted. His splendor is over earth and heaven.
He has raised up strength for his people, and praise for all his loyal servants, the children of Israel, a people who are
A second lesson, a reading from Revelation. I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of the Lord God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who is seated on the throne said, "See, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life, the word of the Lord."
Gospel according to St. John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Morning, children. I have quite a few items, but they're all for one purpose, I assure you. So, on this paper plate of mine, I have a red heart and a pink heart. Let me show the congregation if they can see. Perfect. So, this little red heart has a lot of tape on it because this red heart belongs to us. Now, on this side, it seems like a normal red perfect heart. Let me show the congregation if you can see. And on the other side, there's tape. Someone asked me, why is there tape on one side? Someone asked me. Yes, it does. But ask me why there's tape on this side. Why is there tape on this side? Because Nicholas was a not-so-good Christian this past week. So for every little sin that I committed, there was a little heart poked in. There was a hole poked in God's heart. So this is what Nicholas did. Don't tell anybody. Let me see if the cops are around. I did 41 in the 30. Shh, don't tell anyone. Broke the law. What else? This is going to hurt a lot. Don't tell anyone. Don't tell my child, okay? I went inside her room because I know where she keeps her candy, and I stole it. And then she asked me about it, and Shelby, do you know what I said?
I didn't steal it.
And then she asked me, are you sure you didn't steal it? And I said, yeah, I'm positive. And I opened up her Snickers bar right in front of her. So as you can see, for every wrong thing that I'm doing, I'm poking a hole in the heart. And let's see, what else did I do? So we lied, we sped, and what else did we do? Oh, yes. My wife told me to please make up the bed. You know what I did? I didn't do it. And then she asked me again, did I make up the bed? And I said, yeah. But I actually paid one of my children to do it because I didn't want to do it. So as you can see, all the lies and me being lazy and me breaking the law has led to this kind of heart where there's holes in it. I haven't honored my wife. I haven't honored my kids. I'm lying. I'm not being a very good dad. I'm being a very terrible Christian. But today, Pastor Tim started his service by saying, we confess our sins, the ones that we know we've committed, and the ones we have unknowingly committed. So by confessing our sins, and later in the sermon, at the end, Pastor Tim will serve us communion. And when we serve communion, we confess our sins. This is what happens. This heart that is once full of holes does not matter because Jesus' heart covers my heart. Jesus' blood covers all my sins. So let us thank God that he covers all sins, for without him we would be dead and useless. It is the second to the last week of school, right? Am I correct? All right. And for these seniors, they have 10 more days and they're done with high school and they go on to their next step, which is college. So let's pray about them. Put your prayer hands together. Dear God, thank you for these kids up here. Thank you for letting them have a school year and amazing teachers and have good memories with friends. God, thank you so much for the school year that you have provided for our seniors. Let their last 2 weeks be filled with joy and hope. No surprise tests. No surprise projects. Everybody graduate safe. And may you be with them on their next journey to college. Amen. Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our gospel lesson reading for today is a story that takes place on that night that we know of as Maundy Thursday, the time that Jesus spent that last evening, that last supper with his disciples. What has happened already on that night before we come to our reading for today is that Jesus has washed their feet, and then he also predicted that one of his disciples would betray him. And so our story opens up today with when he had gone out, and that is a reference to Judas, who is leaving to betray Jesus. Things have been set in motion here. It's already starting to move. This is the last time that Jesus sits down to eat with his disciples here before he is crucified. But he still has a few more things to say to his disciples. He gives them one last command, and that last command is, "As I have loved you, you also are to love one another." You too are to love one another. Things were set in motion. It was about to happen. Judas has just left. He's gone to the chief priest to betray him, to let them know where Jesus is going to be so that they can arrest him. Soon after the meal here, Jesus and his disciples go out to the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prays, and then he is arrested. He is put on trial. He is condemned. He is beaten. He is tortured. He is hung on the cross to die, and he does die. He is buried, and then on the third day, he rises from the dead. All this is just about to take place here, but he gives that one last command. As I have loved you, love one another. And to understand that command, you have to understand Jesus. How did Jesus love us? If you go through his ministry and see, who did he minister to? Who did he love? How did Jesus love? You see that Jesus ministered to children. He ministered to the elderly. He ministered to middle age, to the young. He ministered to those who were like him, who were Jewish. He ministered to those who were not Jewish. He ministered to men. He ministered to women. He ministered to the rich. He ministered to the poor. He was there for those who were with power. He was there with those who had absolutely no power and were outcast. Jesus ministered to everyone. He cared for everyone. He loved everyone. And so as he makes this command, as I have loved, you too are to love one another. It's an impossible command for us. But that is what we still strive for. We strive to follow this command. And I think maybe the closest thing here on this corrupt earth that comes the closest to this is maybe the love of parents for their children, that love of family. Because parents, good parents, are willing to do just about anything for their children. The sacrifices that they make for their children, whether it's giving up a career or postponing a career, of giving up the things you love to do, of maybe going hunting, fishing, playing golf, or cooking, baking, all those things that you really love to do, visiting with friends, traveling, a lot of that is sacrificed so that you can be home with your children. To learn how to discipline, to take care of giving hugs, telling your children that you love them, supporting them. All the things that parents do and are willing to do to raise their children to be loving people. To parents giving up their Sunday mornings to be here with the family, here in worship and in Sunday school, teaching their children about Jesus Christ and the Word of God. That love that parents have for children is probably one of the closest things we have to following this commandment. As I have loved you, you too are to love one another. But it's nearly impossible to do that. I mean, look at the world today. Look at the state of the world is in today. There's people out on the streets protesting right now for abortion causes or for pro-choice causes. People are angry. They're shouting at each other. There's a war going on in Ukraine. Russia has invaded Ukraine. People are being killed. They're being murdered. Robberies are going on. People are just angry. They're upset. They're shouting. They're yelling. They're issuing violence against one another. We do not recognize this commandment. We don't see it. As I have loved you, you too are to love one another. It's almost impossible for us. But one of the things Jesus doesn't say here is that you should agree with one another. We are never going to agree with everybody. And if we only look to love like-minded people, we're going to have a very narrow group. I look, for instance, at the people Jesus called to be his closest disciples, those 12. He called a tax collector and he called a zealot. Two people completely on the opposite end of the political spectrum. The zealot was one who was saying, by all means, by all costs, by any method, we need to get rid of the Romans out of our country. The tax collector, on the other hand, was collecting taxes for that very same Roman government. Opposite extremes. How well do you think they agreed with each other or got along with each other? Or he called an apostle, a disciple, who was impetuous, who was bold and strong-headed and just blurted out whatever he thought. And that caused controversy within the group. Another disciple that he called doubted who he was or what he had done. Another disciple was one who betrayed him. And then he called two brothers who were so boisterous, so loud, so rambunctious that he called them the sons of thunder. This was Jesus' inner circle. This was his group. And at times they were bickering with one another. Who is the most important? And yet Jesus calls them into service. He calls them as his tight-knit group. He doesn't call us to agree with one another, but he calls us to love one another. And so how can we do that? How can we do that? A lot of times when we disagree with people, we label them. Oh, that's a liberal. Oh, that's a conservative. That's somebody who's different from us. That's somebody with a different background. That's somebody with a different race. And we label them of who they are. Oh, they're rich. They're poor. We don't want anything to do with them. We label them. We label them, and we don't see them as God sees us. Because God sees us as his child. He created us in his image for us to love one another as Christ has loved us is to see other people as God has seen us and as God sees us. To see each one who has been created lovingly by God. It doesn't mean that we have to agree with them. It does not mean that we have to condone their behavior. But at the same time, we are still to love them. Because if they are outside the kingdom of God, they are a potential child of God who can come into this kingdom. There is so much friction in the world. Even within churches, there are frictions. I mean, just the fact that we have Catholics and Orthodox and Presbyterians and Baptists and Episcopalians and Methodists and Lutherans and Independents states to the fact that we don't agree with each other. There is something different that we either highlight out of scriptures or different ways that we just can't come to an understanding exactly our theology perfectly. But that still does not mean that we cannot love one another. Even within the United States, I think there are at least 16 different Lutheran church bodies here within the United States. There's always something that we're going to disagree over, but that does not mean that we cannot love one another. A perfect example of how not to agree with somebody and yet still love them is actually in our first lesson for today. That story with Peter and Cornelius. Peter gets a vision from God, has a vision from God of animals coming down from heaven, animals that are forbidden for the Jewish people to eat. Coming down from heaven, he has that vision three times, and then the voice says that people will come and get you and take you to Caesarea. And at the same time, Cornelius, a Gentile, a non-Jewish person, has a vision. Go send to Peter in Joppa and have him come and hear the story. And those people do come and get Peter and take him to Caesarea. And he tells them the story of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit fills the place. And Cornelius is baptized. A wonderful thing. Something new that happened. But when Peter gets back to Jerusalem, they call him to the carpet. They want to know, what's going on? Why did you eat with Gentiles? Why did you mingle with them? They're not God's people. Why did you eat with them? This highlights the first controversy, the first big controversy in the early church. Think about it. One side is saying that if you want to be a Christian, you must first become Jewish. Think about it. Jesus was Jewish. All 12 of his disciples were Jewish. And most of all the early Christians were Jewish. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people were baptized. Those 3,000 people were people who had come from many different countries, had come together in Jerusalem for a festival. And when the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit and went out into the streets and told the people the story in their own languages so they could hear, they believed something new was happening. But all those people were Jewish. All the early Christians were Jewish. And so it was a natural thought. Well, in order to become Christian, you must be Jewish first. And that's why they called Peter to the carpet. Why they wanted to question him. What are you doing eating with Gentiles? So Peter tells them the story. He tells them about the vision that the Holy Spirit sent to him. He told them about the vision that the Holy Spirit sent to Cornelius, and what happened when they got together. Cornelius never became Jewish before he became Christian, before he became a believer. He never had to become Jewish. And when Peter tells that story to the Jewish leaders back in Jerusalem, they were silent. They were dumbfounded. They had no comment on it. Until finally, the Holy Spirit also entered them and they said, God is doing a wonderful thing, something new. And it settled the controversy that was going on. And there's a key there then. How do we disagree with someone and still love them? One thing is, first, look at them and see them as a person created in the image of God. As someone who is loved by God, who is lovingly created by God, and that God put them here on this earth. To look at him first like that. You can still disagree with him. Disagree with them respectfully. Listen to what they say. To what they have to say. Listen to their point of view. Two people shouting at each other are not going to accomplish anything. You need to listen to one another. Several things can happen if you listen to one another. One thing is, if you disagree with them, and after you've listened to them and listened to their story, if you still disagree with them, one of the things that does is, if it's something you disagree about with faith, it may actually increase your faith, make your point stronger, to know that, yes, what I believe is what I should believe. Another thing could happen if you listen to that person is they can have a new perspective on the same thing. You may learn that you actually are agreeing. Even if you're disagreeing, you may actually see that you are agreeing on many more points than what you agree on. And that you begin to have a clearer understanding, some new insight, a new direction. You never thought of it that way. And actually, you are actually agreeing rather than disagreeing. You're just coming at it from different angles. Or the other thing is that you realize, I'm completely off base with my thoughts. And I've learned something new. A new thing is happening. As I have loved you, love one another. We are never going to agree with each other. We are never going to have the same point of view. But yet, we still look at one another as children of God, as people who need that redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Of those people, we are the people who need Christ, who has gone to the cross and died for us, who has shed his blood, who has given us everything he has, who has loved us totally. We need that Christ. We need to see that resurrection, that even in the midst of our turmoil, even in the midst of all the horrific things that are happening in this world and what we do to one another, we can still have love for one another simply because God first loved us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, Holy God, we praise your name. Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ, you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified in the Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic Let us pray to our risen Savior on behalf of the church, the world, and one another. Gracious God, fill your whole church with the Holy Spirit. Make it constant in faith, bold in witness, joyful in worship, patient in adversity, cheerful in service, rich in compassion, and alive with holiness. Through it, lead many, as you led Cornelius and his household, to life, salvation, and fellowship with all who love you. Lord, in your mercy. Bless all elementary and middle school children with joy, love of learning, and kindly hearts. Protect them from bullies and abusers, from the world's alluring dangers and hidden threats, and from everything that would darken the hearts or hide your face. Lord, in your mercy. Bless our graduates who will soon be leaving home, maybe staying home, finding jobs, and going off into the world. We pray that you may continue to be with them and bless them. Lord, in your mercy. Wipe away the tears. Take away the suffering of all whose need is great. Especially, we plead on behalf of Robbie Bolt, Max Anderson, Dolly Rupert, Lynn McGurra, Will Niemeyer. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, you are the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end of all things. You are the light and life of all who died trusting in you. Keep us in fellowship with them through the bond of your Spirit. By the same Spirit, raise up all whom you have redeemed. Lord, in your mercy. Grant to us all that which is in accordance with your will, dear Jesus, and accomplish your salvation among us. For you are risen from the dead and dwell in majesty with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. us pray. Merciful God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you have first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive them for the sake of him who offered himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Let us pray. Pour out upon us the spirit of your love, O God, and unite the wills of those whom you have fed with one heavenly food. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace.
Amen. Amen.
Our closing hymn, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling.
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.